Is there anything else we wanted to announce? Or?
No, I don't think so.
I'm going to ask Pastor Dye has a message that the Lord has placed upon our heart.
Did you put that on?
Am I on? Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're on.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Excuse me.
Hallelujah. Touch our Lord, anoint her. Fill her with your words for us this morning and give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church and let us receive it into our spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Would you stand with me, please? And open your Bibles or whatever device you're using. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, let me just see where it is. Okay. Okay. So this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hallelujah. 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 God, give us understanding in the mighty name of your Son. Amen. And you can be seated. Do you know what time this is? Do you know, have any idea what God is doing in this time, in these days? Anybody know? Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you feeling personal revival? Anyone else? Personal revival. Is God doing something inside of you that is so exciting? Do you feel renewed somehow, some way, perhaps in your mind or in your heart? Do you feel renewed? Are you increasing in your faith? Even though days are growing darker, your faith is increasing. Is that happening? If any of this is happening to you, raise your hand. Wow, wow. I've been saying recently, I feel like I'm having personal revival, like I'm being revived in so many different areas of the Lord and in the Word of God. I just feel this and I'm just accepting it. You know, it's so, so, so awesome. And I was going, I'm trying to put a word together, and I must have changed the word I don't know how many times. And then finally, I kind of was able to narrow down and get direction from the Lord. And you know what? When God made Adam and Eve, do you know what he was asking from them? He was asking for them to till the garden and different things like that. But you know what I feel the emphasis on what he wanted from Adam and Eve, from Adam especially, walk with me. That is something to think about. That God Almighty, supreme being, would tell a man, walk with me in the coolness of the night. He said, take care of the garden, do this and that, but when the nighttime comes and that cool air starts setting in, let's walk together. Is that so beautiful? To me, that is so precious. To me, God, the magnificent one, God of the universe, God himself wanted Adam, his son, to walk with him. And I think about that. And I think about, it astounds me that I believe today God still wants men and women to just walk with him. Are you, we used to say, are you walking with the Lord? Are you? Are you walking with the Lord? As you go about your day, he's there. Are you acknowledging that he's there? Are you sensing his presence? Walk with me. You know, and I was thinking of how privileged we are, men and women today, to be on this side of the cross. Like I've said so many times, we could have lived and died 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000, 4,000, right? But we were chosen to live in this day and age, this side of the cross, which is, to me, I think, so fascinating and so thrilling. Amen?
Amen.
Because these are the days that we're looking for the return of Christ. These are the days that the Spirit of the living God is moving in such dynamic ways. But the Spirit of God moved in dynamic ways all through the Bible, but today it is so personalized, and that makes me feel so wonderful. That makes me feel special, this side of the cross. I look back at the Bible and I, you know, I think of Noah's Ark, and I think about how the world got so, so bad that God said, I have to put an end to this, right? And then he created that flood. But he told Noah, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was always, throughout the word of God in the Old Testament, a man or a woman who kind of just found grace. A man or a woman who was going after God, who was obedient to God, who was calling out to God. And we, you hear that? Just a little bit of a ring? And there's always been that that person, you know, Moses and Noah and Abraham, all the people of the Old Testament, there would be one outstanding person. But today, do you know who is outstanding, so outstanding to God? Those that are found in Christ. Amen? Those that are found in Christ. We are the most important people on the face of the earth. We are the most powerful people on the face of the earth. We are. Not because of this flesh. This flesh can't do anything to please God. But because the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us. Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, when we accepted Jesus Christ, he came into us, which makes us supreme beings on the face of the earth. Come on. That's the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help me God. And so, you know, after the flood, and God told Noah to build an ark, and it took years and years and years, and Noah did that. And God said, I have to put an end to all of this sin, all of this corruptness, all of this corruption, all of this dying without knowing me, without loving me. People are turning away. There's confusion everywhere. And as the days were going on, like I said, it was just getting worse and worse. The sin that was taking over the world. Kind of sounds like today. No, as a matter of fact, it does sound like today. And God had to put an end to it. And so there was the flood. And then there were generations after Noah, generations and generations. There were, even after Noah, before Jesus came, there were the 12 tribes of Israel that were being raised up. Amen? And then we think of the Tower of Babel, where man said, you know, let us build this high, high, high tower that will reach up to the skies. Let's get together and let's do that. And then we can be like a god. We will have power for some reason. And what happened? What did God do? Wait, that was very bad. God couldn't allow that to happen. So he started to separate the people, right? He separated all of them, and he gave them all different languages so they would be so confused they couldn't work together. But God always had a heart for people. No matter, even if they were separating themselves, wanting to do things on their own, were full of vain vanity and disgust, and then sin was just coming in more and more and more. I think about Abraham, and I think about Sarah, and I think about how Abraham was raised up, and he found grace in God's eyes. And this one man, he's the father, really, of all of us, right? But it was his great faith in God and Sarah's great faith in God that made a difference back then in those times before Christ. And he walked with God, right? What did God want from the beginning? He wanted man to walk with him. What do you think walking with God means? Rich, I'm going to ask you that question. What do you think walking with God? Fellowshipping. Yes. In agreement. Being one with God. Amen? That's what God wanted all along. That oneness. That walking in agreement. Knowing each other. That God would be able to pour out blessings. That's God's heart. He always, every situation, he wants to pour out a blessing. Amen? And so, you know, we think about the different characters in the Old Testament, real characters. These things really happen. Sarah was promised a son, and she was in her old age. She was 90-something, and all of a sudden, she has life within her womb. For a woman, I think that is the most exciting, the most precious, the most wonderful thing to know that you have life in your womb. Only God could do that. God designed that from the beginning of time. And we know how bad things get in the Word of God. Time after time, God was there. He would fix things for man. He would give man a second chance. He would start over again. But there was still so much sin coming in. What could wash away those sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God has to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because the evil was so bad. It was getting worse. It was increasing. We think about other characters in the Word of God, Isaac, you know, and Rebecca, and how God was had his eyes on a certain group of people, on a certain group of calling on their lives. These people were called, but he, in his heart, what did he want? He wanted them to walk with him, and many did, and then some fell away. Many did, and some walked away. But God has always been after a people that would say, I really don't want to walk unless we walk together. I think about all the wonderful things that have happened in the Old Testament, like Moses and the burning bush, where God revealed himself to Moses. There was always an outstanding person in the Old Testament. And then I think about when the Jewish people that were in a foreign land, they were in Egypt, and they were living under this rulership there that was so bad. They were being beaten, and they had to work, and they had to build buildings that they were just dying, and they were being fed nothing, hardly anything, and they needed to work and work and work, and God saw what was going on, and he went after the leadership, right? He gave the leadership there a time to repent by showing all of his miracles. Remember that rod that turned into a snake. Remember that? Remember all the awesome things that took place. Remember how he had to create, how he had to drop down on them disease. Very, very, very hard times, because he wanted even the Egyptians, he wanted even Pharaoh to come walk with him, to come and say, "You are God, and I bow myself before you." But that didn't happen, did it? And then we see the Passover, right? A beautiful, beautiful time when the Hebrew people were told, "I'm going to make a way of escape. Listen to me." And by Moses, Moses were able to tell the people what to do. Take a lamb and kill the lamb. Put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. Because there is famine coming. There is disease coming. There is death coming. But if you take that blood, and how God, every single time the Father was making a way for his people and showing how he was bringing Jesus into the picture, so that one day, this side of the cross, there would be a people today who would understand all of those things, who would see Jesus, the Son of God, from the beginning to the end. There would be a people with revelation. There would be a people that would soften their hearts. And we are those people on this side of the cross. And I thank God that I was chosen. I thank God that you were chosen to have our eyes open, to have our hearts broken with tenderness for God, to understand the mighty things that he did, and that he gave his son. And that blood was an example, right, of what God was going to do one day with the blood of Jesus Christ. God made a way in the wilderness, and Pharaoh's army kept pursuing God's people. And the people finally, you know, got together, and they were able to get on animals and camels, I guess horses, I don't know. But they were marching, and they were leaving this horrible place. They were living in hell. And what happened? All of a sudden, they came to a sea of water, and they couldn't go any further. And there was the enemy coming, tracking them down, running after them. And what happened, people? Somebody tell me what happened. Yes, all of a sudden, that sea parted. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The people are there. The enemy is coming. The enemy is going to whip them or kill them and bring them back under captivity. And all of a sudden, Moses is there. And Moses is kind of like saying, "Watch and see what the Lord will do." And all of a sudden, that sea opens up and divides, and there's dry land. My God, have you ever had an experience that you could say God kind of opened the sea for you to walk through something? We've all gone through things, and we've all experienced we can walk through it. We could go through this thing, and I'm going to come out on the other side, and I'm going to be okay. Amen? And in the Old Testament, that water became a street for them. And soon as their enemy came to the Red Sea, they were over on the other side. They started going in, and those waters just swallowed them up. These are not just little stories that we tell in Sunday school to our children. This is all real. It's all real. Imagine if you were there at that time, and all of a sudden you saw the sea, two big walls and a pathway. How exciting is that? I have to tell you something. All of these wonderful stories, true stories, are all so exciting. But the most exciting thing that I find is we're living on this side of the cross. These are the most exciting times. They're hard times. There's always been hard times. We see the enemy growing, but this is the most exciting time that God chose us to live here on this side of the cross. Amen? With the great expectation that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. That there is a rapture. Now we see how bad the world is getting. I don't think anyone can argue with me about that. We see what's going on. And many, many times when I've spoke about, you know, I would talk about how bad this is, how bad that is, how the government, this, that, and the other thing, what's going on, and all that stuff. I don't think I have to do that anymore, because I don't think there's a person in this room that doesn't know that these are evil days, and the days are growing more and more evil. I don't think I have to tell you either that God has a plan. God always had a plan in the Old Testament to rescue those that were walking with him. He always had a plan, and he has the most dynamic, wonderful plan. He couldn't have a better plan than what we are facing. Amen? Amen. And sometime soon. Imagine when the people were in the desert, the Hebrew people, and they woke up and there was actually food on the grass. Can you imagine that? Every single day. And when they complained and they wanted meat, there was meat. God the Father was taking care of his children. But think about God's glory on Mount Sinai when Moses met with God and received the Ten Commandments. Oh my Lord, oh my Lord. This one man was found faithful in the eyes of God, and God raised up Moses. And Moses said, he was kind of a nervous guy. I don't think he had a lot of faith in himself. That's okay. But this one man said to God, I want to see you. Let me see you. Imagine that. And God said, can't see my face, but I'll walk before you. And as God walked before Moses, God described himself to Moses. This is what you should see. This is what you should look at. The Lord, the good, the gracious, the forgiving, the faithful. So he said who he was so that Moses could have a picture of him, but he couldn't see him. You know why? Because he was on that side of the cross. Because he was on that side of the cross. Because the veil wasn't torn yet. That's what the cross did. Amen? We've spoke about this before. When Jesus died, the veil was torn in two. And all of a sudden now, we could come into the most holy place. We, on this side of the cross, the chosen ones to be living today, we have so much more than everyone else had. Because Abraham didn't have this. Moses didn't have this. But we can actually go through the veil and we could be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We could even see him. We could hear his voice. Because on this side of the cross, we have something so dynamite, so special. We have Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh. These times that we're talking about, great times, but the greatest time is now on this side of the cross. Amen? Amen. We have, come on. Thank you for choosing me, Lord. Thank you for choosing me. We have God's Spirit inside of us. We have a voice inside of us. God's Spirit dwells and lives inside the born-again Christian. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. Amen? We are the most exciting people that ever walked on the face of this earth. And I think about water coming from a rock when Moses struck that rock. How wonderful. I think about the glory that Moses' face was shone so brightly when he was with God, and the people said, you gotta cover yourself because they were getting frightened. Glorious times, wonderful times. The tabernacle, remember when the tabernacle was built, and then there was the most holy place, and only the high priest could go in there? That's the veil that was torn. And each one of us can go in there. There was fire by night and a cloud by day. Amen. Fire represented God, Holy Spirit. Okay. The cloud at night, presence, glory. We have all of that now. We don't have to go to a desert. I think of Deborah. We come across a woman in the Old Testament. And Deborah, she commanded respect for God from the people. And she influenced the people at that time to live for God. And so she was one that God's eyes were on her, directing her. And even the prophets, she went to them and she said, obey God. And God used her. And she knew, she had a knowing. There were just certain individuals in the Old Testament that had knowing about God, that even could sense his voice sometimes back then. It's all so great. But, and again, I will say, these are the greatest times of all. Even though the world is not a good place, even though things are growing darker, it is still the best time because we have Jesus. And the moment we accepted him, he, by his Spirit, came into our hearts. And I don't deserve it. None of us do. None of us do. But yet God called us. It was his choice. It was his decision. He called us to know his son. And that's when I came out of the world. And that's when you came out of the world and into a relationship. Amen? That brings us fire in our soul. It brings us energy, synergy when we're together. It changed my whole life. I was a depressed person, oppressed and depressed before I came to know the Lord. When I came to know the Lord, all of this came off of me, and it was in my own personal miracle. He is the ark, Jesus Christ. He is that cloud. He was the ladder. You know, remember the ladder? Jacob's ladder? When he saw angels coming down, going back up, and there was a connection between heaven and earth, this ladder, that was Jesus. Amen? Jesus, the Passover lamb. When they congregated in their homes and they had to eat and they had to run and get out of there, get out of Egypt, and they all had to eat the Passover lamb and put that blood over the door, that was Jesus. Remember the water was made sweet from a rock? It was bitter, and Moses tapped it with the rod. I believe he tapped it with the rod, and it turned and it became sweet. That was Jesus, the darling of heaven, the sweet, 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 powerful Son of the living God. The tabernacle. Now we carry that tabernacle. Remember, the high priest was the only one that would go in to the most holy place. Jesus Christ is our high priest who went into a very, very dark tomb and made it the most holy place. There are so many characters in the Bible. Boaz and Ruth. Beautiful, beautiful stories. We could go through all of them. But they were one story, then another story, one person, then another person. Today, we have a collected story. And we are together as one body. We are together as the body of Christ on the earth. Amen? We are on this side of the cross, this side of the resurrection. We know the blood that washes away our sins, cleanses our souls. We have Jesus. I believe the most exciting time and the most powerful time are these days that you were chosen for. Do you remember Jesus said to Peter, right before Jesus disappeared, this is after the crucifixion, and he came to his disciples and he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Jesus said, yes, I love you. Peter, do you love me? But Jesus, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. And I would say that today, Jesus is still asking that question. Do you love me? 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 Then the most important things that are on my heart have to become the most important things on your heart. Feed my sheep. Go tell the world about me. Go tell the world, the people that you work with, your neighbors. Tell them about me. And you know, even though the world is growing darker, and I believe, as I believe you do also, we have some hard times to really get through, very hard times. But Jesus has a staying power. He will sustain us, even in the darkest times. If he's in our heart, he will sustain us to the very end. It's hard to fathom because we can't muster it up, no matter how hard we try. We can't even feel it within us, but it is there. It is there. Think about the darkest moments since you've been saved, how you got through them. Do you love me? Tell them about me. Tell them, I've called you. I've chosen you. I've raised you up. I've strengthened you. I've loved you. Tell them. We live in our, you know, little Christian realms. We are no ordinary people. You know, talking about his keeping power, sustaining power, we went to see my mom in the nursing home. And my mom is in a room, like a hospital room, very tiny. And there's another woman, there's another bed in the room. And this woman is paralyzed. And I was outside the room for a moment. I left my mom to listen to a band, a little band that was there. And I just kind of walked up and down the corridor for a while. And I went back to like where my mother's room was, and that woman in the other bed who is paralyzed from the neck down, somebody was moving her and hurting her. And she was screaming, you're hurting me, you're hurting me, you're hurting me, like that. After he left, sometime later on, I went up to her. She looked right at me and I said to her, God loves you and Jesus loves you. And she said, and he is Lord. That's keeping power. That's keeping power. This woman doesn't have a life. this woman is in pain. But what came out of her mouth was, "He is Lord." Wow. That blew me away. That blew me away. Oh my God. There's a light in her, and God won't allow it to go out. That's his sustaining power on us in whatever situation. We are no ordinary people. We cannot boast. We cannot think we're anything special, because we're not. Only because the Spirit of the living God has entered into us. Only because the love of God is in us. Amen? You know, we see the Asbury revival taking place in Kentucky. Everybody's heard about it, right? Anybody not hear about it? Okay. Okay. There's a... It looks like true revival, okay? No man is directing it. There are no pastors. There are no that are directing it. There are no ushers. There are no, it is just organic. It's young people that went into, they had a, it's a Christian college. And they went into a Bible study, and then they just started worshiping. Now they, including others as well that have joined in with them, have not stopped worshiping for 9 days. I think this is the 10th day. Nonstop. They're not stopping. They're not stopping. Many young people have brought in little, little mattresses. And they're sleeping in all of this during the night or something. But if you see it, there's no big orchestra, you know. There's no leader singing. It's just organic. And now people are coming from all over the world, Portugal, here and there, everywhere, to see this and to be maybe a part of it. At the same time, I believe there are two or three other places in the United States where this has happened, which I've just heard about. You know, so God is doing something. Amen? Amen? He is doing something. And we have prayed for years and years and years here, and I know other people too, and other churches, for the young army of people to arise. Amen? And to come marching through this land, because the young people have a zeal. And they have the energy. And when their hearts are on fire, they're going to go. And I see them coming, young people, going into the bars and pulling the people out. Going into the most horrible, darkest places, pulling the people out. With zeal and with compassion, so strong, and power. Pulling people out, praying with people. You know, raising the dead, healing the sick. This is what, in New Testament time, we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. And Father, we pray for these young people, Lord God. Father, that your hand would stay upon them. That, Father, that they would want nothing else but your presence. And they would want nothing else, Lord God, but to please you and to fulfill their purposes here on the earth, oh God. We pray an increase and increase and increase and increase. There are no older people there, only those that are visiting. But it, so many young people, so many young people. And the worship is plain, but they're singing and they're singing and they're singing and they can't stop. It's a God thing. It's got to be. Amen? God's going to be doing the most wonderful things here. But I'm saying, I'm talking, going to narrow it down again before I end, about personal revival. Personal revival. You've got to feed that fire inside of you. Read the word. Talk to God. Forget about your past. Forget about the things that you've done. Repent. Repent and enter the kingdom of God. Live there. I don't want to live in this world. I don't want to be ordinary. I don't want to go day by day, go to the supermarket, cook, clean, do this, do that. No, I want to be alive in Christ Jesus. And I want to be able to open my mouth when God tells me to. Now, before we left the nursing home, we took my mom a little little corridor, a little, there was a little table there where we could be alone with her, and we spent some time with her. And this man comes along in the wheelchair, started talking to my husband. His name is Bill. He wanted a male companion. I mean, he just wanted, could see, he just wanted to talk to him, you know? And then we had to bring Mom back to her room. So Pastor was taking Mom back, and I was walking with them, and Bill was right outside his door, in the wheelchair. So I went over to him. He showed me a picture of his dog that he can't see anymore, and he's a broken man. So I said to him, can I pray with you? So I said, you know, Jesus, and I just went quick, like, Jesus has to be in your heart. And he says, oh, I know. Those Jehovah Witnesses came around, and I said no. And I said, okay. And I laid hands on his shoulder, and just very quietly, I said a prayer over him, and for God's presence to be stronger in his life and for his situation. And we were right in the doorway of his room. I didn't know there was a worker that worked. I don't know if she was a nurse or whatever, inside. And she could hear me. I didn't know that. So I prayed with him. I left him. I went into the elevator to go downstairs. When we got downstairs, this little lady was there. And she said to me, wait. And she put her arms around me. And she said, I heard that prayer. And it was beautiful. And she said, we don't hear things like that around here. And she had tears. That prayer was overheard by somebody. I believe that if she didn't know the Lord, she accepted him right then and there. And that prayer made such a difference that she had to find me before I left the building, and she grabbed me and was crying. We don't hear those kind of things in here. We don't hear those kinds of things in here. We've got to bring the word into those kind of places. Amen? So that they can begin to hear those kinds of things. The supermarket, wherever, maybe the waiting room in your doctor's office or wherever, they have to hear those kinds of things. She said, we don't hear those kinds of things around here. Thank you, with tears. My God, we don't understand our power, and sometimes we don't understand our calling. Amen? It can't just be when it's convenient. But we are the people. And I go back to this, that are walking with the Holy Spirit. We are on this side of the cross, and we're walking with the Holy Spirit. So he is directing us, and he makes it easy. If you plan to do something on your own, it would be a mess. If you want to go over, I'm going to say this, that, and the other thing to my neighbor, and you probably, you understand? Maybe you would leave a seed behind, but when God, you're walking with God, you know the Spirit of God lives inside of you. You are guided by the Holy Spirit. You are open to the atmosphere. What's going on around here? Open to the atmosphere. Not just running in the drugstore and running out, but walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I'm just like you. You're just like me. We're the same. Amen? But when I decided to start walking with the Spirit, my life changed. Oh, I knew the Spirit of God. I read all the books. I prayed to him. I talked to him. But I was so hungry that I want you in my life. I don't want to guide my steps. I don't want to just do my own thing. I want you to take over. And since that that happened, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, everywhere I go, doors are open. They're so open. So open. I told you, at the drugstore, I turned around to a woman is holding a little puppy. And I turned around to see the puppy. And she said to me, I'm an alcoholic. Hello. Here's my number. I mean, that was easier than cotton butter. Amen? Amen? I rode my bike around the block. I went into a car that was parked. I thought maybe I scratched it. I got out to look. There was no scratch, but there was somebody in the car that I didn't see. She got out. We prayed together in the street. Tears are coming down her Tears are flowing. I'm open. I want it. I'm praying. But the most important thing is you're walking in the Spirit and not in your flesh. You're walking with the Spirit. And on this side of the cross, we can walk with the Spirit. On that side of the cross, the Spirit of God only visited them. He visited them here, here, here. But with us, he resides within us. Stand to your feet. Father, how can we say thank you, God? We say to ourselves, this is such a bad time to be living in. This is such, oh God, this is the most opportune time. And you selected us. You chose us to walk on the earth in this moment of time. You chose us to be able to accept your Spirit inside of us and be led by him. You chose us to hear your voice, Lord God. Not in one big occasion, but moment by moment. God, awaken us, Lord God, and help us, Lord God, to be more sensitive, to have more of an understanding, and much more hunger, and much more thirst to do what you would call us to do. We love you, Father, and we thank you so much. We thank you so much, oh God. It would have been so exciting to see that water part. It would have been so exciting to get into that ark. There are so many exciting things. But you put us on the side and kept us and called us into being at a certain time because this really, truly is the most exciting times. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I just pray that all of this would remain with us, Lord God. We would remember. We would come alive more and more to it, Lord God. And we would please you and walk with the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And we can celebrate him. Amen. Amen. We have coffee and donut, something bagels in the cafe. Come join us. Come join us.
Huh? I wrote a note in my phone 5 minutes before you said that. We're walking so much in the flesh.
Oh.
We need to walk in the Spirit.
Exactly.
The husband and wife, you feed each other, the flesh and the Spirit. But the world, you're supposed to feed the Spirit, not the flesh.